Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Happy Brewers Outlet Day, everybody. Great to be with you. Joe Susan on the show today. A day I always look forward to. Today's show is brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere. Water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. And that pickle bar is absolutely second to none. It is all at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. By the way, they came out. Westlake did, with their projected win totals for Major League Baseball teams this year. If you're a Philly fan, don't read it. Not good. But last year, the Phillies minor league system, now listen to this, the Phillies minor league system last year had a 5.95 winning percentage. Not just for one team, for the whole system. How good's that? We'll have the Phillies for you starting on Monday. Big party over at Sean's. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, you're invited, of course.
Oh, naturally, well, certain things in life are assumed.
Yeah.
An email, I got a text from the suit today.
Good news on another sale or no?
He wants me to go with him out on sales calls. I'm like, no, that's not happening. Text it back, you're on your own sport. Like, okay, kind of told me how things were going, really. In a very simple way.
Well, we didn't want to wait until the week of the spring game for Bucknell, so perfect excuse to have head coach Joe Susan on today. There's actually the football team's going to be part of a very worthwhile event on campus on Monday, and if it's able to touch and affect positively one person, it'll be deemed a phenomenal success. So Coach will be telling us more about that in less than half an hour.
Yeah, looking forward to it.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll talk about spring football, too.
Oh, sure. Yep.
Yeah.
I believe their fifth or sixth practice of spring ball happens tonight.
Yeah, that would make sense.
Yep.
Penn State has its sixth tomorrow. So we're looking forward to that one. That'll be tomorrow morning, as a matter of fact. And the Final Four is tomorrow. Our intrepid predictions coming up in the final half hour. Because so far in this tournament, we've been really, really good. Actually, not as bad as people would think.
Yeah, just last weekend we hit the skids. All three of us were 2-4 last week, picking the back end of the Sweet 16 in the first half of the Elite Eight. But overall, Hoops picks the last month or so. Not too bad.
Well,
all three of us over 500. More than respectable.
Yeah, but, you know, just staying even with you guys is good enough. He'll seem to understand. Really. Yeah, I may have had a bad weekend at 2-4, but then I'm looking around going, okay, we're good.
You're still two ahead of me and four ahead of your brother, so you're good.
Huh.
You're making up for the football picks.
Ooh.
That was bad. That was bad. You know. Did you watch the game, Steve? No, not really. But how about that 595 winning percentage by the Phillies organization last year, their minor league system?
Oh, the Redding fighting Phils. Oh, they tore it up last year. And actually, if everything goes well and I play my cards right in June, I'm going to be attending my very first Redding Phils game.
My understanding through the pipeline is that you're throwing out the first pitch.
Really?
Yes.
Okay. No excuses. I got a couple of months heads up then, so that's good.
So to make sure, I mean, big star like you floats in there, man, I'll tell you.
Well, I'm big. I don't know about a big star, but I mean, I should be down my alley, you know, limbering up my right arm just in case.
It's all red carpet stuff. Yeah, and then, you know, you can bring along a friend of yours. Maybe they can sell the Fightin' Phils some digital media.
Yes.
All right. Okay. What team has the best record in the American League over the last 5 years? What team has the best record in the American League the last 5 years?
Give me three guesses.
No, sure, yeah. Go ahead.
I'll just think of the first team off the top of my head, the Detroit Tigers.
Nope.
I'm not going to use this as one of my three guesses, but definitely not the Yankees. Let's see. Let's go with Anaheim Angels.
Nope.
Okay. One left. Make it count. Red Sox.
Nope.
Oh, that's right. They had a bad year in the mix there, the one in the last five. Okay, well, there's my three. So,
the Baltimore Orioles.
That'll make Drew and Allie happy.
They have more wins in the last 5 years than any other American League team. Thought you'd find that just a tad interesting.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, it's those are just a couple little tidbits we pass along to you. Major League Baseball season starting on Monday. We will not have a show on Monday. Well, stop applauding out there. It's in the hostage situation. Come on. So we'll have the game for you. I assume you got all my stuff dealing with the game. He's thinking.
Oh, you sent me an email?
No, I sent it on the...
the Philly stuff, yes.
Yes,
good to go. And actually, I have more to send, and I'm going to...
More?
Yeah.
Oh, come on. It's a weekend. I'm done. I'm mentally finished.
I know.
No, I'm done. You don't seem to understand. I'm finished. What you got is what you get.
You hear that, Lawrence?
Man, I'm done.
He left a couple of extra lines out for you. So. I know. I was walking down the hall just a couple of minutes before airtime. Oh, can you have... Steve, record one more thing for me. It's like, I'll hit send, but then, you know, ball's in his court.
Well, it's that part we're on the mark. I apologize for mispronouncing great. All right, so come on, we're having fun here.
We are.
At least we are. Nobody else. Suit even in the building today?
Or? He is in the building. Actually, just walked down the hall a few minutes ago as I was heading into the room.
Ah, video game day. Good. Okay.
Oh, you know, because we are at the quarter pole in 2017. Got to finish strong.
Yeah, we're at the quarter pole. Yeah, absolutely. We are that. We are at the quarter pole of the year. Today is March 31st. And tomorrow you've got Gonzaga against South Carolina to open. And you have North Carolina and Oregon to close. That is tomorrow's doubleheader. And the ratings will be higher than ever. Because it will be much higher than last, not than ever. It will be higher than last year. And the reason is, it's on CBS this year and not TBS. You take out the cable component, And because of that, you're going to get more viewers. Pretty simple. Oh, I just got your email. More words needed. Sorry, didn't realize I needed additional opens and bridges. Blah, 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 blah. But come on. Okay, I have to tell you this one. This is a good one. Now, you know how you get the mass email sometimes on something?
Yes.
So I received this mass email. I'm not going to tell you from which organization. Okay. But they always want to do the personalized insert your name. Mr. Jones, you are cordially invited to join us for an evening in support of organization and active duty and veteran military students and their families. That tells you when it is. Business attire for the evening. The evening will include hors d'oeuvres, entertainment by the Penn State Glee Club, as well as students from the Penn State Musical Theater Program, as well as appearances by Sandy Barber, Penn State Athletic Director, Sue Paterno, a dedicated military and veterans advocate, and Steve Jones, the play-by-play voice of Penn State football and basketball. In fact, it then goes on to tell me that I can then go there for making a donation of this per person. And I have until April 10th to RSVP. Okay.
Wait, what? Well, huh? I'm already on the marquee here. I'm part of the dais.
Okay. Okay. Did you connect the dots between paragraph 3 and the top? Did you connect the dots between the top and paragraph 3? You know, I realized getting the mass word out is very important, and it's easier than ever to do because of that. I understand that. But this is another example of just how we have lost the personal touch over and over again. I mean, I'll help them regain the personal touch by emceeing the event that night, which is what, April 30, I think, is when it's going to take place. But I see that and go, you've got to be kidding me. Really? I also got an invitation in the mail for it, too. Like, the MC of the event. We will take a break. We'll come back, tell you about what court documents say Phil Mickelson paid in a gambling debt. As we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by our good friends at Brewers Outlet.
True refreshment can come in many forms, but it can only be found in one place, the Beverage Supermarket. Brewers Outlet in Sunbury. Along with their great selection of beer, including imports and microbrews, they have lots of water, soda, fresh roasted peanuts, and an unbelievable variety of pickles at the Pickle Bar. Look for great deals on wine coolers and your favorite snacks, too. Get true refreshment all in one place. The Beverage Supermarket. Brewers Outlet in Sunbury.
Great to have you with us on the show today. All right, let's get to Phil Mickelson. Okay. Now, again, this is a case that's come up. And because of that he's not indicted, he's not, okay. Federal prosecutors broke down a series of stock trades by Phil Mickelson in 2012 and identified an alleged $1.9 million debt related to sports gambling during the high-profile trial of Las Vegas businessman and renowned gambler Billy Walters. According to the transcripts of Thursday's proceedings, read extensively in the back room by our people, says that the prosecution told the court that an independent business management firm, if called to testify, would say that Mickelson was a client, and that records show that in July of 2012, Mickelson owed a debt to Billy Walters, the defendant, related to sports gambling. Prosecution added that on September 19, 2012, Mickelson transferred $1,950,000 to Walters. Oh, to have enough in the account to do that comfortably. Oh, yay. Walters is widely considered the most successful American sports bettor. He owns multiple golf courses in Las Vegas and more than a dozen car dealerships across the country. He has been indicted multiple times previously, but has never been convicted. Mickelson is not charged in the case. He and Walters have had a relationship for decades, often playing golf together. It's going to be my gut feeling that it probably is not for a dollar a hole. Let's see. The government alleges that Walters passed inside information he received from a former executive at a dairy production company onto Mickelson before the golfer purchased 200,000 shares of Dean Foods through transactions on back-to-back days in late July 2012. According to prosecutors, Mickelson sold the shares just more than a week later. The profit, $930,000. Mickelson has agreed to pay back the proceeds he made from the transactions with interest. Walters is facing multiple counts of securities fraud. He has denied any wrongdoing. Thursday, according to the court transcripts, FBI agent Paul Roberts testified that Mickelson and Walters were in communication in the days leading up to both men purchasing shares of Dean Foods, a stock that Walters has owned for years. Roberts testified that Mickelson had not owned any stock in Dean Foods in recent years. Walters' defense has asserted that the trades were based on publicly available information regarding a spinoff of the company, not any information from Thomas Davis, a former executive of Dean Foods, an associate of Walters, who is now cooperating with the government. Mickelson is on the witness list for Walters' defense. Mickelson has said he will not be called as a witness in the case. Walters' lawyers told Judge Kevin Castle last week that Mickelson had informed them, his counsel did, that the golfer would invoke his Fifth Amendment right if called. Mickelson has won more than $82 million on the PGA Tour, including $4.2 million in 2012. He's in the field this week at the Shell Houston Open. He shot a 72 yesterday. Next week, by the way, is the Masters. Walters' trial is expected to continue in the next week. And the $82 million on the Tour and the $4.2 million in 2012, that's just for the playing part. Mickelson earns about $40 million a year, with obviously the vast majority of coming away from the course. Oh, wow. $1.9 million gambling debt. Wow. Huh. At least he didn't get an invitation to an event he's already emceeing. Just kidding. So there you go. You knew that was going to come up. The timing, again, the Masters is next week. But he's not, his name's there. But if he's called, he'll be a defense witness. All right, Joe Susan, next half hour. Looking forward to that. My brother later in the show, Chris Mack, Pirates Radio Network at 4:06. Philly system last year, 595 winning percentage, better than any other organization in baseball. Westgate, though, not high on the Phils this year, predicting 70 wins. We'll tell you about the win predictions in the 4 o'clock half hour. My brother's predicting the Yankees win 142 games. I think it's a tad high. Sunbury Motors Lincoln continues to satisfy the most discerning buyer by making American luxury affordable. If you are looking for a midsize SUV, the Lincoln MKX has to be on your list. Sunbury Motors Lincoln has a brand new 2016 Black Velvet MKX all-wheel drive with navigation and panoramic vista roof with an MSRP of $48,640 for only $43,352. That's $5,288 in savings. You can choose from 12 MKXs in stock now. Sunbury Motors Lincoln has 5 2017 Lincoln Continentals in stock, ready for the test drive of your life. The 2017 Continental won the coveted 2017 AutoGuide.com Reader's Choice Luxury Car of the Year Award. Sunbury Motors has a 2017 Continental with an MSRP of $48,315, discounted to $46,315. Now is the time to see why more people are realizing they can move up to a brand new Lincoln from Sunbury Motors Lincoln in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere. Soft drinks, snacks, water. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. And the pickle bar is second to none. Love the Darrells, love the barrels, love the dills. At Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. In a few minutes, Joe Susan joins us. This day in sports history, 1906, the Intercollegiate Athletic Association of the U.S. was founded to set amateur rules. The organization became the NCAA in 1910. 1923, King Clancy of the Ottawa Senators played all six positions in Game 2 of the Stanley Cup Finals. Played goalie for 2 minutes while Clint Benedict served a penalty. It's on this day, 1931, that the great Newt Rockne passed away in a plane crash. 1968, Seattle chose a nickname for its American League team. The Seattle Pilots played 1 year at Old Six Stadium in Seattle and then moved to Milwaukee and became the Brewers after Bud Selig bought them. 1973, Muhammad Ali wore a $10,000 robe on the back and said, "The People's Champion." Ali then went out, had his jaw broken by Ken Norton, who beat them. Elvis Presley is the one that gave Ali the robe. 1998, the Tampa Bay Devil Rays and the Arizona Diamondbacks debuted in Major League Baseball. 1998, Pokey Reese of the Reds tied a major league record when he committed 4 errors on opening day. You're not off to a good start when that happens. You're on a 600-plus error pace at that point. Not good. Very pleased to bring in Joe Susan, head football coach at Bucknell. Much too long since we've heard from you. It is great to have you back.
It's good to be back, Steve. I appreciate you having me. And usually we get together on a Monday during game week. But the good thing about the spring game is I know we're going to win.
Yes. As long as nobody gets hurt, you win.
Yes, exactly.
Let's get to first things first. National Bone Marrow Registry, Be the Match. Your program is deeply involved, and so is the campus.
It is, and it's really a privilege to do this. Andy Talley, who just retired from the Villanova University as a football coach, started it quite a while ago, and this is really going to be our third effort at doing it. And it's a bone marrow registry that puts people in positions where they could be potential donors for bone marrow related to a variety of different blood illnesses. And It's a cheek swab, so it's not an invasive event. And we've had excellent turnout from the students, from the faculty and staff here at Bucknell. But I just want to reach out to the community because it's open to the community, and we're doing it in the center room of the Langone Center on Monday the 3rd from 10 o'clock to 2 o'clock. And you know, it's good to have our guys understand how important it is that they're gifted with a lot of things. In order to be leaders, you got to be servants as well, and to be able to do something that could potentially save a life is, I consider it a privilege. And the young men on our team really understand why we're doing this, and they're excited about it. They're actually great salespeople. They, I don't think they threaten people into the room, but they're out on campus advocating it, and I think that's really important.
Give me an idea in the scheme of sports. Having a well-rounded education that includes the ability of community outreach and giving back.
You know, I think it's important that they come to us. Obviously, they're talented academically and athletically. I'm not sure that in their upbringing they're exposed to a variety of different types of community service. We feel that's important. And what it does is it gives them a mindset of what it is to help others, but also in some ways, in some of the things we do, it also gives them perspective on the people that do not have what they have. And we do a food bank. We're actually, right after the spring break, we're going to Weiser State Forest to plant seedlings, which will be interesting. But it also gives them a sense of being able to carry that on beyond their graduation here. And it's part of life in terms of, I've always seen it that way, it's part of life to serve others, especially if you have. And the head coach that I played for in college, Tubby Raymond, said that those who are gifted with a lot is expected of you. And that's just something we try to relate to our kids, and they've done a great job with it. They take hold of it, and they run with it. So the event we're doing on Monday, they're basically doing it. And the people that sponsored the event, they did it last year, and they actually marveled at how our kids took over, and it's a good sign.
Couple of additions to your coaching staff, and those changes obviously are going to be important for you. To discuss a couple of those, the additions and what they can mean to you.
Well, part of hiring good people is somewhere along the way somebody's going to come after them, and that happened with John Bowes, who was our special teams coordinator, our secondary coach. He's now the defensive coordinator at Fordham. We will go after him as he will come after us, I'm sure. Brad Fordyce was coaching our linebackers. He's now the head coach at Dickinson College. And then R.D. Montgomery's wife, Jamie, took a job at her alma mater, Wake Forest, as the assistant head coach of the field hockey team. So it opened some doors in our staff for us to make some moves. Bobby Acosta is with us. He is our offensive coordinator and quarterback coach. I've known Bobby for a real long time, and excited about being here, and we're excited about having him. I think that there will be some things that we do offensively that will enable us to open it up. We're talented on the perimeter offensively. We're young on the offensive line, and part of being effective offensively is going to be able to get rid of the ball quickly and to unload the box so that we're not going up against an 8- or 9-man box at times. And I think some of the things we're doing in terms of run-pass option, run-screen option concepts that Bobby brings with him will help us in that. And then on defense, Michael Weick, he was a defensive coordinator at Salve Regina up in Newport, Rhode Island. He's been here a lot and always impressed me as a smart young coach that very excited, very enthusiastic. He's a great role model for the kids. And part of that transition, you always have some skepticism because you have two very good players in Mark Piles and Ben Richard. And normally when we interview people, I don't put the players in an interview situation, but for this one I did because of those two guys. And I had their input, and their input was the same as mine, and we were fortunate to get Michael on our staff. And then what I did with the special teams coordinator's position, Stephen King, who coaches our wide receiver, he's now going to be our special teams coordinator. And I hired myself as a tight ends coach, which, it was a hard interview process. But there are times where you get tired of just carrying around a whistle and going from drill to drill. Now I have my own drills. And I'm guilty, though, at times of losing track of the clock. So the other coaches are kind of staring at me. And when am I going to blow the whistle? But it's good to be back coaching a great group of kids. And we're a real tight end-oriented offense. We basically replaced the fullback with the tight end. So a lot of what we do, we'll have two tight ends on the field and first and second down. They're good kids, too.
Right. With a new coordinator, is there a change in terminology, even subtle, and what kind of adjustment is there, if there is?
One of the things that I talked to Bobby about in this process was keeping our numbering system, keeping the way we describe things the same, and it's easy to do. It's basically an NFL system. And we've had to adapt some things so that they're easy to understand for our players, but a lot of the numbering system, our offensive line scheme concepts are the same. Darnell Stapleton will be our run game coordinator as well, and it's just one of the biggest challenges we have is we're going to start a new quarterback, and we have three in the spring, which enables us to be really good with getting them all reps, and that's going to be the biggest. The quarterback drives this offense, and if we can, we've created competition there. And I think the person this is newest for is the quarterback, because he now has some other options. Just rather than directing a run play or a run pass, now he has it within the play where he can take advantage of the run. Take it. So it's post snap. Decision making that's going to be critical to the effectiveness of the run pass stuff, the run screen stuff. But they've done well so far, and the one thing you can do is when you're on the practice field, you can hear Bobby. So and our kids know the difference between being yelled at and being yelled to.
Right.
That's one of my philosophies. They listen when they're yelled to, not when they're yelled at.
Leadership can show up in various ways, and leadership in the off-season strength and conditioning program is where a lot of it begins to develop. Have you seen the development of leadership that has translated into leaders in spring practice?
It really has. When I first got to Bucknell, I created a leadership council, and when I found out how what I asked them to do, I was basically doing that. So what I did in the early part of January is I created another leadership council. I had gotten away from that, and I've combined a mix of all classes, juniors, seniors, or juniors, sophomores, freshmen. You know, they're going to be a year different come August. But the core of our leadership coming from some of the seniors who've played a lot of football and been very successful at it, the Mark Piles, the Joe DeFlorias, the Abdul Andersons, Ben Richards, those guys have taken charge. And when your team's best players are your hardest workers,
yep,
it's a good thing. It's a real good thing. And that's what they are. They're also our hardest workers. And that gives the young guys something to look at. And The other thing that's different, I think, in so far as this team has developed, is they're all making sure everybody's accountable to everybody else. And sometimes that's hard to do for an 18 to 23 year old, because if you step in and tell a guy this is how we do it, you don't look as cool as you should if you didn't say anything. So, and we always talk about part of being a leader is being comfortable at being uncomfortable. And these guys have done that, and that's what's exciting about it. What it does is it makes your job as coaches a heck of a lot easier. It lets you coach.
And part of it, too, is going to be coming up on Monday from 10 to 2. Be the Match. It's designed to evaluate possible bone marrow donors for blood illness victims. It's going to be a very simple, easy process because it's going to be a cheek swab. That's it. That's what's going to happen. But that way they have a database to work from. Your team will be a part of it from 10 to 2 coming up on Monday.
Tell Kevin he can't apply because he had that transplant and his DNA might be a little bit questionable.
It was going to be regardless of the transplant anyway, for other reasons.
Tell him I said hello if you would.
I will. Thank you so much, Coach. Appreciate your time. It's always great
to
hear you.
Thank you, Sean.
Take
care, man.
You too. Thanks, Coach.
And football coach Joe Susan at Bucknell. We'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Brewers Outlet. Great to have you with us. Baseball season starts on Monday. College basketball reaches a crescendo this weekend with the Final Four tomorrow in Phoenix at Glendale. Opening game, Gonzaga to take on South Carolina, and the nightcap, North Carolina to take on Oregon. And today is open practice day, where they get to go in there and get some shots in and then meet the media. Sometimes it's meet the media, then get shots in. We can debate which one's tougher. But the... finally here, I mean, look, they need a... You know, at least they get a little space in between games here. I mean, between trying to take care of tickets and all, you know, and all the other things. I think along the way, when you look at how you get there, you get a little bit of luck. North Carolina had to have a little bit back-to-back Sundays. Gonzaga got a little bit of luck when it came to the order with which they played West Virginia. They got to play them in the Sweet 16 and not the Elite Eight. Because if you only have one day to get ready for that crew, in terms of a true practice to get ready for them, you don't have enough time. So, I mean, that was a little bit of luck. And then South Carolina, you know, they haven't won a tournament game in over 40 years. Now they're in the Final Four with four straight wins. Okay. So, I think that there'll be a, I think it'll be fun. The first game is going to be low scoring. I think the second game you're going to see some points. So I'm looking forward to both games. Football, 5 down, 10 to go. 5 down and 9 to go. Really, the blue-white game's the 10th. Coming up in the 15th overall. They're off to a good start. It's been a good practice session so far. And I think they've been able to get a lot done. And that's the key. I think they've been able to get a lot done. And that's what you want. The last thing that you want after the season you've just had, where you roar down the stretch with 9 wins, a conference championship, played an explosive Rose Bowl, and the entire world is patting you on the back, telling you how great you are, you're incredible, wow, you're going to have an awesome year, you're great, you're going to double digital media sales, I mean, all sorts of things. I mean, lofty goals. Is to get complacent. And I can tell you right now, in watching them up close, complacency would be the last on my list. They've been anything but complacent. They've worked very, very hard. and they've been really engaged in what's been going on. So that's all pluses. They're going to go again tomorrow morning. Then next week they'll go Monday, Wednesday, and Saturday again. So that's the pattern that they have coming up. And 3 weeks from tomorrow will be the blue-white game at Beaver Stadium starting at 3. I know some people have not been happy about the 3 o'clock start. I understand that. But again, who makes the call on that one? Ah, television! It's going to be on BTN. Radio doesn't get to make any of those calls. I'd be at, hey, let's go at 1:30. Remember the old days back in the 70s? Penn State played all those 1:30 games over and over and over again. A lot of fans like those. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Your station for news, weather, business, and CBS Sports Radio. News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury and on WKOK.com.